Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I am Ken Tuck and I am very happy and thankful that you've decided to join us this morning on the Joy FM 94.3 and 96.1 FM. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Hope your Valentine's morning is going well and you'll have a good day today. I wish Happy Valentine's to my Valentine, my beautiful bride, Martha, and I'm just so thankful that God brought us together 16 years ago. We've been married over 16 years. Believe it, she's put up with me that long. God bless her. There's a special place in heaven for her, no doubt. I hope everybody's having a good day. I hope your weekend's been going well. Those of us football fans were wondering, what are we going to do now that there's no football, right? Depression sets in, and I'm just kidding, but I will be happy when September gets here and we get back to football. But most importantly, I'm thankful that we have God's Word, and just want to be consumed by His Word, no matter if it's Valentine's Day, football season, or whatever. Just want to be consumed by His Word, consumed by Him, and having these Sunday mornings to get together on the radio. I can't see you, you can't see me, but we can open up the Word of God still and study His Word. And this morning we are going to open up His Word. This morning we'll be in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 9 in your Bible, we'll get started here shortly with that message. Grab yourself a cup of coffee. I have my coffee in one of my favorite coffee cups. It has a lot of fishing lures on it. It says, God sends no stress that fishing and prayer can't handle. Well, I don't get to do a lot of fishing. I wish I did, especially up in the mountains and those trout streams. But prayer, when we have that time to pray to God, if we are stressed out, He just takes that stress and takes it away from us if we just release it to Him. He tells us to, in His Word, to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And if we would just do that, we would have a whole lot less strife and stress in our lives. And speaking of prayer, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we come to You in the name of Jesus and just thank You. Thank You for loving us. God, I know this is one of those hallmark holidays of Valentine's Day where people express love to one another. I hope we do that all the time. But God, nobody has expressed their love like You. And nobody can, because nobody can love like You. Nobody can love us like You. God, if anybody out there is listening and they just feel like nobody loves them, Lord, let this be a reminder that You love them. And really, God, that's all that counts, is that Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, loves us. And that's just mind-blowing, God. Thank You. And I just love You so much, Father. Thank You for blessing us with another day. Thank You for Your Word, God. We get to open up Your Word and study Your Word, Father God. You speak to us through Your Word, and it's just so awesome and so powerful. And what a privilege it is that You would give us Your Word like this. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to teach us, lead us, guide us into all truths. And may we be doers of Your Word and not hearers only. And if anyone out there who does not have that relationship with You, Jesus, I pray this morning will be the time that they turn their lives to You and really experience real life and real love. So, Father, again, we praise You, we thank You, and we love You, and it's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I've titled today's message, Basic Discipleship. However, as we go over some of these verses, and if you've ever read some of these verses, I imagine most people will think this is for mature believers, but it's not. Well, it is, but it's not just for mature believers. They're for all of us. No matter if you have been a believer 10 seconds ago or have been walking with Jesus for 100 years, from the youngest to the oldest, these verses are for us. These words of Jesus that we're going to read, they're hard. They're hard sayings, and a lot of things that Jesus says that's recorded in Scripture, a lot of times they're hard. But they're words that He wants us to hear, He wants us to know, He wants us to live. And though His sayings are tough, Jesus never promised that this walk with Him would be easy. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. He never promises us that. He didn't promise the first disciples, His first group of disciples, that it would be easy. And as a matter of fact, all of them died a martyr's death, except, of course, Judas betrayed Him. But John, he didn't die a martyr's death, but he sure did suffer a lot. I don't consider being boiled in hot oil would be something fun to do, and that's happened to John. And John went through a lot of persecution because he served Jesus, and he knew Jesus was worth it. The disciples were martyred because they would not deny Jesus. And how could they? How can we? And so this life isn't necessarily an easy life, and it's not going to be. Jesus promises that. But I tell you, it's the greatest life ever. If you're listening out there and you're not a believer in Jesus, you're not following him, maybe you're just kind of searching and hear me saying, well, it's a hard life. Well, I want to be honest. I want to be upfront with you, just like Jesus was. And we read his words in Scripture. But let me tell you, let me promise you, it is the greatest life ever when we're living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing and understanding what he did for us. How can we not love him? How can we not serve him? So if you're listening and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, please continue to listen, because I pray that God's word is going to speak to you this morning and you'll see what an amazing Savior that we have. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, those are hard words. Those are tough sayings from Jesus. But as we dig into it, we see exactly what Jesus is talking about here. And he's not being cold, as it kind of sounds like it, right? It's like kind of being cold-blooded about these situations. But Jesus is wanting us to count the cost. And if we do that, then as we walk this life with him, we have a better understanding of Jesus and how he wants us to live. And we need to understand that, yeah, this life is about him. It's about getting to know him better, about getting to know this God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And why would he do that? We're not deserving of that, because he loves us. And it's hard to comprehend that kind of love. But as we dig into his word, we realize more and more how much he loves us. In these verses, we meet three would-be disciples, and they illustrate three of the main hindrances to a wholehearted discipleship. We got to become disciples of Jesus. And these three right here illustrate some hindrances, three main ones, actually. The first man, I mean, he is quite sure he wants to follow Jesus, doesn't he? As he says, I will follow you wherever you go. So he's very self-confident. He's extremely eager. And at the same time, he's not mindful of the cost. He hadn't thought about the cost of following Jesus. Jesus tells him right away, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus is telling him, in effect, do you know what it really means to follow me? And he's telling us that. Do we really understand? It means the forsaking of comforts and conveniences of life, that especially here in the U.S., we're mighty comfortable. We have a lot of conveniences, a whole lot more comfort and conveniences than people pretty much everywhere else in this world. Jesus is telling them, I don't have a home to call my own. He is saying the foxes and birds have more in the way of natural comfort and security than I do. And so are you really willing to follow me, even if it means forsaking those things which most of us consider to be inalienable rights? Are we willing to choose Jesus over comfort? And that's a big point right there that we need to talk about. We are so comfortable here in the U.S. Most of us have homes. Now, I work a lot with the homeless. I preach and teach a lot to the homeless. But even our homeless here in Dothan, you know, have tents, have sleeping bags. And that's more than a lot of people around the world have. They just have the ground to sleep on. So comfort is something that we are so accustomed to. And the American dream tells us, hey, if we work hard, we can obtain a lot of stuff and be even more comfortable. That's not what Jesus tells us. Jesus says, are you willing to give up that? Are you willing to give up comfort? Are you willing to give up conveniences to live for me? And we really have to think about that. And say, yes, Jesus, I'm willing. Whatever you want, I'm willing to follow you. Now, Jesus isn't telling us all to just go out and sleep on the ground. He's just saying, are you willing to give up comfort? And I remember when Martha and I were first married, we had a really big house. We were both making good money in our jobs. We weren't in full-time ministry, obviously, at that time. We were doing the ministry, volunteering when we weren't working. And we had a really nice home. But then when we moved to Dothan, we said, you know what? We don't need a home that big. It's just the two of us. Yes, that's a really nice place, but we don't need that much. So we intentionally looked for a home that was at least half the size or close to half the size of that one, and really downsized because we just didn't see why we were living in such a big house when it's just the two of us. And so we moved to Dothan and we downsized and we started getting rid of all of our debt and said, hey, look, if we can't pay for it, we don't need it. And we were able to get out of debt. And that's why we're in the ministry today, because when you're a pastor of the homeless, you don't make much money, and that's okay. I'm not complaining. We are just fine. God takes care of us. But the thing is, are we willing to give up comfort? Are we willing to give up the American dream that says work as hard as you can, gain as much as you can, to be as comfortable as you can? Are we going to do that, or are we going to serve Jesus? And now Jesus, you know, he's not telling us all we have to take a vow of poverty, right? But what if that's the case? Are we willing to do it? And saying yes to Jesus and going all the way in with him is just still the greatest thing ever any of us can do, because living a sold out life to Jesus is the only thing that's really going to make us happy. We can get more and more stuff, but don't we end up just kind of tossing the stuff aside and lose interest in it pretty quick? But when we're living for Jesus, he's so awesome. He's so amazing. You know, every day is something new. Every day it's an opportunity that we're going to see Jesus do something amazing in our lives and amazing through our life with other people. And speaking of comfort or lack of comfort and inconvenience, I remember one time I was preaching over in the Philippines, the island of Mindanao, very impoverished area. And I remember preaching there in this one rural village. And they told me that some people were going to be coming down from a mountain today to this service. And I said, well, that's cool. I look forward to meeting them. And then they pointed off in the distance and showed me the mountain where they were coming from. And I said, well, okay, that looks like a pretty good drive. They said, no, they're not driving. You can't get to their village in a vehicle. As a matter of fact, you can't even get to it with a motorcycle or a horse. He said, they're going to walk here, and it's going to take them 4 hours to walk to get to this service. And then when we're done, they're going to walk 4 hours back. And I thought, really? They're going to do that to come to a church service? You know, in America, it's hard to get people to drive a vehicle just a couple of miles to go to a service. If it's raining, you can really forget about it. But here, these people were going to walk, and I said, wow, that's amazing. And then when I saw the people, because I was thinking, you know, they're going to be young. They are younger anyway. But no, most of them were older. And I remember this one woman. She was I don't know how old she was, but she was an old lady. And like most Filipinos, she was small. And she walked 4 hours to get to that service. And she was just a precious woman. And I remember when the service was over and we were leaving, she was tugging on my sleeve, on my arm, and saying, please don't go. Please teach us more. That blew me away. I was thinking, I've never experienced that in the U.S. Usually when a service is over, people take off, because if it's a Sunday, you got to make it to the buffet before the other church does, right? But this lady was wanting more word. And it made me think, wow, these people are willing to walk 4 hours one way. That's not convenient. That's not comfortable. Knowing that they also have to walk 4 hours back. Many of the churches there are made out of bamboo, basically. And the pews, if you want to call them that, many times they're just trees that they've cut down and set some stumps up and laid a tree over it. And that's where they sit down. And that's not comfortable at all. That's not a plush, comfy chair that is in many churches today here in the U.S. or a cushioned pew that's in many churches as well. No, it's not comfortable at all. But they will sit there for hours to listen to the Word of God. And it made me think, am I willing to do that? Would I walk 4 hours to sit in an uncomfortable chair to listen to the gospel and walk 4 hours back. That's the kind of faith that I want. And I decided right there on these mission trips that I want faith that they have. I want the hunger for God that they have. I want to be sold out for Jesus like they are. We have much we can learn from our brothers and sisters in these third world and developing countries. I've seen tremendous faith, and it has spurred me on and inspired me to want to have that same kind of faith. And so I had to ask myself, am I willing to give up comfort to follow Jesus? Because after all, we are the most comfortable people in the world. Most of us have a climate-controlled house. We're air-conditioned or heat this time of year, and our churches, they're climate-controlled. Over there, no, there's no climate control unless a nice breeze blows or something. It's very hot, but it doesn't matter. They are there, worshiping God, studying His Word, encouraging one another, making disciples. When we think about comfort, we need to think about extreme poverty. And we have poverty right here in the U.S. We see it all the time here with our ministry at Love and Action because we minister to people who are living in poverty. But there's nearly 2 billion with a B, 2 billion people who live in extreme poverty, making less than $1.25 a day. And they predict that the pandemic is adding another 150 million to the extreme poverty list. But you know what? A lot of those people who are living that extreme poverty love Jesus, and they're living for Him, and they're happier than most people who are making a lot of money. So Jesus will bring us joy. And through that joy, we'll experience happiness that we can only find in Jesus. The second person we read about here, Jesus says to him, "Follow me." But the man said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." In verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, many scholars think that this man's father had not died yet, but you know, we don't know really if his dad had died or if he was dying, but it's basically an excuse not to follow Jesus. Now, we are to give respect to those we love, and when they die, you know, give them a proper send-off basically, right? And I remember when my father died. Back in 1997, I was holding his hand when he did, when he left this world and went to heaven. And, you know, that was a extremely sad part of my life right there, my best friend, my dad, leaving. But, you know, Jesus says that He comes first. He doesn't want us making excuses. And we can't let anything or anyone be an excuse for not following Jesus. Scripture teaches us to honor our mother and father. And we read here Jesus is calling somebody to follow Him. And remember what Peter and Andrew did when Jesus first called them? They were fishing and they dropped their nets and followed Him, immediately followed Him. James and John, they were in the boat with their father Zebedee, one of my favorite names of all, Zebedee. They were in the boat with their dad fishing, doing the family business. Jesus called them to follow Him. And what did they do? Did they say, "Hey, Dad, we're going to follow this guy and go with him, but we'll finish up this job here first and get everything in order, and then in a little while, then we'll follow him." No, they left Dad and the nets in the boat, and they followed Jesus. They dropped their nets, they dropped everything, and they followed Jesus. Our duty to our family is not to be an excuse for not following Jesus. We need to follow Him at all cost. He has to be first. He has to be number one in our lives. And when we do that, then our love for others is going to only be stronger, for one. But when we follow Him, again, we're going to see amazing things happen in our lives by truly following Jesus. And as we read about this encounter, the guy who Jesus called to follow Him, he said, "Lord, let me first go." So He said, "Lord," and then He said, "me first." So he's putting his desires above Jesus' desires to go. And again, whether his dad was dying or his dad had died. And when Jesus saves us, and we're truly transformed by his saving grace and his saving power, we realize that he loves us like none other. I know my dad loved me. He told me all the time. I had an awesome dad. I love him. I still love him and always will, even though he's been gone since 1997. But Jesus, his love for me is even greater, and so much greater. Because I realize, you know, Jesus suffered horribly for me and for you. And he died just an excruciating death for me and for you. And then he came back to life on the third day to say, hey, I want to forgive you, and I want to give you eternal life, so you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be tormented and punished forever. You can come and live with me forever and be in the presence of Almighty God forever. And that kind of love, when you experience it, it changes you. And yes, I love my family tremendously. I love my wife so much, and I know how much she loves me. But, you know, she knows I love Jesus more, and I know she loves Jesus more than me. And I love Jesus more than my mom, than anybody. But see what that does. When we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we're living like he wants us to live. And then his love is going to flow through us to others in such a powerful way, such a powerful way. We just got to put him first and live for him, truly follow Jesus. Because again, when we do, life is not the same, and it's awesome. It is so awesome to truly experience the love of Jesus Christ. And by the way, when my dad was buried at that service, the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, and several people came to the Lord that day. So we can serve God at any task that we're doing, to serve him, tell others about how awesome this Jesus is, and lead them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the third person that we encounter here, verses 61 through 62, isn't focused on Jesus, not at all. He's focused on family and friends, and it's obvious that Jesus is not top priority in his life, because back in verses 61 and 62, yet another said, I will follow you. So he's saying, I will follow you, Lord. Then he says, but let me first say farewell to those at my house. Again, he's saying, me first. So he's putting his priorities ahead of Jesus, ahead of the priorities that Jesus has for him in his life. And that's what Jesus tells him. No one who puts hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And when I read that verse, I also think about Elijah. When Elijah threw his cloak, his mantle upon Elisha's shoulders, Elijah was plowing a field with oxen. And when he got that call to be a prophet of God, Elijah took the implements that was being used as the plow and sacrifice those oxens, and then took the cooked meat and gave it to people to eat, and he followed Elijah. And I don't know if Jesus was referencing that in Luke chapter 9 here, but I think about that when I read this. But this person is not sold out to Jesus, is he? Because he wants to go back and do something that he wants to do, not what Jesus has just told him to do. So we got to determine in our lives, are we going to live lives that will be marked by an indecisive mind or an undivided heart? We're going to be kind of, yes, I'll follow Jesus, but only when I want to, only on my terms. Or are we going to say, Jesus, this, my heart is yours. My life is yours. I'm going to follow you. Wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. See, when we're sold out completely to Jesus, then when we go back and we read these scriptures, the first reading of them, it just seems real hard. But when we're sold out to Jesus and we read these scriptures, we realize it's not really hard. They're easy because we realize that Jesus is our life. Jesus is our everything. Jesus is most important. He is God Almighty. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He's my Savior. He has given me eternal life. He's forgiven me for all my sins. When we know that and we live that, then we can say, yes, Jesus, I will forsake comfort to follow you. I won't let family or anything or anyone else be an excuse not to follow you. And I'm going to give you all of my heart, not just some of it. And I'm going to follow you. Because I tell you, he is worth it. He is worth anything that we give up in this life. No kind of comfort that we can find here on earth in goods and material things can match the comfort that he gives us, the peace that he gives us. It can't. You can't buy enough things. You can't make enough money to have that kind of peace, to have that kind of comfort. Jesus loves us. And if you listen today and you're saying, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never said, hey, Jesus, forgive me. Then what's stopping you from doing that? Call out to him right now. Just ask him to forgive you, and he will. Ask him to save you, and he will. Let him know, say, I'm going to repent right now of everything I've done. I'm going to turn from that, going that way. I'm going to turn to you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. Help me to do that. Help me to follow you. And he will. Just call out to him the best you can. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. Our number at Love in Action is 334-494-4995. You can also email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Please contact me, and I'd love to give you some next steps. Or if you have questions about salvation, please contact me, and let's talk about it. And if you are a born-again believer, then be a sold-out born-again believer of Jesus Christ and live for him. All we got to do is pick up his word and read it and see how he lived this life and listen to his commands of what we should be doing. And when we do, we see, wow, this is an amazing life that we can be living and that he wants us to be living because he wants the best for us, and this is the best. So be a sold-out believer. And take these basic discipleship scriptures that we just read out of Luke 9 and apply them to your life. I'll give up comfort. If I have to give up comfort, I'll not make any excuses by using family or friends or anything else. I will follow you, Jesus, completely. Let's be determined to do that. Well, thank you again for joining me today. I pray you have a great rest of the week coming up. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.